This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch.
With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination.
And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
I think if you have a teenager, 13, 14, 15, 16, especially if they're a boy, you're dealing with that right now. Yesterday he practiced outdoors and I said, here's a couple of bottles of water because it's hot outside, it's humid, you're practicing outdoors, you're going to need the water. I don't need water. I said, you're taking the water. So I had to snap at him, and he said, man, what's your problem? I said, you're my problem. I don't have any other problems except for you. The only problem I have right now is your existence. Other than that, I'm good.
Everybody knows, man. You got a boy that age. Everybody knows. Chiellini, Domino, the fans, 680 and 93.7 FM.
You guys are going to be generational with Dr. John. At some point, he'll be visiting Dr. John and working through some things like that one.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're all going to cross that bridge eventually. We're all going to need therapy eventually. Chiellini, Domino, the fan, 680 and 93.7 FM, 12 o'clock hour, brought to you by Wade Ford. At Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, you'll discover flexible finance options, our top trade-in values, and even mobile service. The man joining us right now, we'll talk some NFL in just a few minutes, on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line, is performing at the Punchline this weekend. He's a friend of the show. He is Billy Gardell. Billy, always good to talk to you, and welcome back to your home away from home, the city of Atlanta.
Hey, man, how are you, brother? How you guys doing?
Doing very well. Now, I've got a slight bone to pick with you because
Right out of the gate. That's how you know it's family. Hey, how you doing? Let me tell you something.
We settle all grievances before we do anything else. Like you said, we're family. We've known each other a long time. Decades, right?
Yes, sir.
So I get a text from your publicist. Hi, I'm Billy's publicist. Billy will be performing at the Punchline May 10th and the 11th. Is there any interest in booking him on your show? Billy stars in Bob Hart's Abishola. And you may remember him from Mike and Molly. No, I remember him from Christmas Eve. That's where I remember him from. In our house. You got your publicist reaching out now. You're big timing us.
No, what happened was they were setting up press for this weekend at the Punchline. And, you know, they always search out shows that that I like, that I want to do. And I just figured, you know, at some point, you know, your cousin was going to bring me down there so he could get a free meal. So I didn't think about it. I thought, oh, that one will be on the list. And then she just reached out to you, which was hilarious when you sent me the text. What would have been funnier is if you went, no, he can't be on the show. No, we don't want him.
We've had him out a couple of times. It just didn't work out. No interest whatsoever.
It just kind of hits the floor every time he comes on. It's not somebody we want to deal with right now. What do I know about making a restaurant? I'll see what I could do.
It's a hard pass. So best of luck in the future, Billy Gardell. So how's the – I know the last time you were here, you were kind of working on the new act. Workshopping it, I think, is what they call it in the business. Have you refined the act a little bit more? It was good the last time you were in town when we saw it.
I was just starting to get my legs under me, and now I got my legs back, and I got about probably half new and half greatest hits, and that's a great place to be right now. And now that I'm up and I'm doing an hour again every night, I'm starting to really build this new hour out, which I'm really excited about.
Baby, Billy, in the music, listen to me, in the music world, they might cut 25 tracks to get 10. Back in the old days when people did albums instead of just putting out singles. What's the equivalent in the comedy world to get to a set?
Well, I think for me, it's different for everybody. You got really prolific guys like, you know, like Bill Burr, who can just, he just phenomenally finds a way to come out with material, like I think every 6-8 months or something. He's very prolific. I'm not a prolific guy, so it takes me a long time. It takes me about 2 years to write an hour that I'm happy with. And I hate myself, so it takes a long time for me. Like, I write something, I hate that. Why am I saying that? But then, I don't know, man, a rhythm starts to happen. And once I find a through line, then I know how to build it. And my through line now is that, you know, here's something you don't hear a lot of comics say. I love my wife. And so I've started from there, and then I'm talking about being an empty nester and, you know, where I'm at in my age. And I'm so grateful technology doesn't have me by the throat. And so I've found that through line. You know, I like to also, the thing I'm trying to bring now is just love, man. I've always gone the opposite direction of the crowd, man. And I think we're in a place now where everybody's in a complain fest. And, I think we could use a little Neosporin. So I'm kind of going at it from that angle, man. I just want people to have a good time. We need a break from everything.
Well,
so that's kind of how I put that's where my compass is right now.
Billy Gardeau with us at the Punchline this weekend, the 10th and the 11th, punchline.com. If you want to get some tickets to go see him or any comics when they come through Buckhead. So you mentioned the fact that you're an empty nester. Chris, you and Billy have that in common now. How tough of an adjustment was that for you?
Well, when Will went off to college, I remembered, I'm married.
Yeah, I know the feeling. My son's going to be 15. I know the feeling.
Guys, well, you're right now in the pull away, they know everything phase. The next phase is they leave. And then you realize that, you know, when you're raising a kid, that's the focus for 18 years. And now I told him the other day, I said, you got to get home, man. I can't play her one-on-one. That's too much attention. I need some help in the secondary. I'm too old to play her one-on-one right now. I can't handle all that attention.
I think the thing that I realize is I miss the white noise. My wife and I just had a year. Both were in college and they're both coming home. We had a little sit down Monday night. We said, look, I don't want to do the rules thing because I know that it's different now that you're in college. But I said the one thing that we've enjoyed is I miss the white noise. I don't miss the stuff above the white noise. So I don't want to hear about sweatshirts. I don't want to hear about stealing clothes. I don't want to hear about anything. I've had a nice run of not having to hear that stuff. But I did miss the quick interactions that might just happen randomly 9:30 at night.
You know, there's something my son does when he's home, man. He's a writer. I'll be down watching TV, and there's like a little mini fridge in our living room that has waters and stuff like that. And I just hearing him come down the steps, come out with his earpods on to get a water or something, and then he'll look over and go, what are you watching, Pops? And then we'll talk about some film I'm trying to get him to watch or something. And then it is those moments. It's hearing him upstairs and you know, and it's stupid stuff for me. Like, you know, was it too far to put the dish from the couch to the sink? Is that too far of a trip for you to take? But I miss all that stuff. So when he's home, it's just wonderful. And what is funny is how quickly my refrigerator fills up when he's on his way. Like the minute my wife knows he's on his way home, we have any selection of anything you need. When he's not here, it's like, fend for yourself, stupid.
Were you the house that other kids, because the other thing that I found out, and these are girls, I've never seen people more comfortable with doing whatever the hell they wanted in my house. Hey, Mr. Domino, or they call me Chris, by the way, which I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. But it's to the refrigerator, to the microwave, to the cupboard, to the, we're making macaroni, we're making pasta. I was like, nobody asked for anything, and I'm okay with that. But I didn't realize that we were that house until I realized that we were that house.
Same here, man, same here. And that started early in elementary school. You know, we only have one, but my wife would go to pick him up at school. And then she would bring four of his friends home, and they would come in like ducklings and attack the house. And it's great because it's been the same kids in this house for 15 years. And when they come home from college, they come over. And I love that we're that house. I really love that we were that house. And I won those kids over when they were in about ninth grade, because I come home one day, and they were all sitting on the computer, not talking to each other, staring at the screens like they do. So I went to Target, and I bought about 12 Nerf guns. And I came home and dumped it out like the beginning of The Expendables. And I go, okay, you two are hostages. You two are Navy SEALs. Now, you two go hide. You two defend the house. And you two, it's your job to get this guy out without injury. And so I started doing stuff like that with those guys. And what that led to was an actually really honest relationship with all these kids. I'm honored that they come to me because, you know, there was always that dad in the neighborhood you could talk to when you couldn't talk to your dad. I got to be that dad, and I really treasure that because these kids trust me, and I try to just shoot them straight. I don't try to Ward Cleaver them. I try to shoot them straight, and I talk to them about experience, and I don't share what they should do. I share something I might have been through so they can make a choice, and I've built a really good friendship with my son's friends that way, and we were that house. We're absolutely that house.
I never asked you this. What's the best script you've ever read? Now, whether it came to you directly or whether you heard something was going to get made, do you know one or two scripts just on paper you said, this is brilliant? I don't know what it'll turn out to be because movies can get goofed up, but have you read a brilliant script or two?
I have. I'll tell you the greatest one I read that I didn't get. You remember the movie Almost Famous?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I get in the mix for that to play Philip Seymour Hoffman's part, right? Mm-hmm. And at the time, he's not a huge star, and I don't really know who he is. But he's not in the mix yet, but I get that was the part I was going after. So I auditioned for the casting people. They moved me on to the producers. The producers like me. Now I'm going to meet Cameron Crowe. I'm literally driving over the hill to meet Cameron Crowe, and if I get by this audition, I'm going to get that part. So about halfway there, my agent calls me and he says, hey, man, I'm sorry to do this to you. Turn around and go home. They gave the part to Philip Seymour Hoffman. And then I was like, who's Philip Seymour Hoffman, man? This is bull, going off. And then a year later, the movie comes out and I saw his performance and I went, okay, I'm not that good. I couldn't have done that.
he's one of those guys. He stole every scene that he was in every movie. Yeah.
Every scene could just swipe it off the map. Unbelievable actor and a tragic loss. But that was one of those ones where as you were reading it, you're like, this is a huge hit. This is going to be a huge hit.
Billy Ardell with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. So an hour, that has to be an eternity up there. Or do you get into a groove and it flies when you're doing it right on stage?
Now it's a groove. The first time I had to do it was I had to take some notes up on stage, which I still have, but I also, that's an age thing. I'm like, hey, man, I'm at the age now where I walk into a room and I'm like, why'd I come in here? So, bear with me. And I might have to put my reading glasses on, too. I don't know. But we're going to get through it. But, yeah, now I feel like I'm finding my rhythm, though, and it's really nice.
What do you think about aging as a comedian? You're at a point now where you have to reflect at some point, right?
I think I look at my life, first of all, as I'm incredibly blessed, or as my wife would say, I have a horseshoe in my ass. And the kind of life from where I've come from to where I am, I just have tremendous gratitude to be at this age. The fact I survived to this age, the fact that I'm here to this age, the fact that I went through two shows in Hollywood and didn't make a mess, and I have a good reputation, and I have a family, and I look sometimes, Nick knew me when I was 22. What do you think the odds in Vegas on me being a success and being an adult were, Nick? I think they won 108-1.
Yeah, probably. So, you were a very, very long shot.
No, your cousin had to literally, when he got me, I was like the fourth dude on that evolution chart. He had to teach me how to eat with the right fork and how to wear a suit. So the evolution that happened to me from where I'm from blows me away still to this day.
So I want to ask, though, Billy,
amount of gratitude. By the way, if I ever do a detective show, I'm using the title Cellini and D'Amino. tell me that don't sound like a Thursday night.
Yeah, it happens.
It sounds Cellini and D'Amino. We'll be right back.
It sounds downright sinister is what it sounds like.
If we ever go backwards and there's three networks and nothing else, I think that show could absolutely work.
That happens all the time, Chris.
do you like not having to be edgy? Because is it hard to pretend? Like, if you're living a good life, people say this about Springsteen and other people. What the hell are you talking about? You're living up on the hill. But you sound to me like you absolutely enjoy the place you are, so you don't have to be an act. You can actually just find the funny.
That's such a great insight, man. The guys I started around, they said, you got to make a choice, man. You want to be you up there, or do you want to be a character? And I found, and as every comic has to find their own voice, and I got nothing against guys that do great characters. I mean, that's their thing. But I think, like, you have to find your voice. And my voice was I wanted to just be genuine and connect. And so And I'm a guy that, like, I'm not into fighting, man. I'm not into arguing. And, like, life is too short, man. I lost my pop. I lost 4 friends last year. And we're in a place now where everybody's talking at the same time and yelling at each other, man. I want to go the other direction. I don't want to be that guy. I just want to be at peace, man. And I don't know what that's going to take for us anymore. So I'm just trying to add to that pile.
And not to get too deep on comedy and what it should be, but I'm sure that you know about the Tom Brady roast the other night. In a roast, nothing's off limits, and some people were offended by that. Do you see comedy going back to how it used to be, like that roast was on Sunday?
I think it's why comedy's having such a resurgence now, is because you can go to those places that are not, you know, that are taboo. But I got to say, I think it helped comedy the other night. And look, the reason they got away with all that was because there was love involved. If you're just saying mean stuff to say mean stuff, it's cruelty. But when there's love underneath it, you can go anywhere. And you could see that was apparent on that stage, man. And I got to say, man, you know who gets the real kudos for that show is Kevin Hart. Because if he doesn't come out and set that table that we're going to go to some uncomfortable places and laugh at ourselves in the darkest areas and then be funny on top of it, nobody else has a good set that night. So I think Kevin Hart gets an incredible amount of credit for being able to set the table for that. And then here's the thing, man, and this is what we've forgotten with all our righteousness and what we think should be said and should be said. Look, there's things on that roast that I was like, oh, my God, like I would have never said that. But that's why I watched. It was like when I listened to a Richard Pryor album when I was 9. I was like, am I even supposed to be listening to this?
Yeah.
And there was a magic in that. But there's always the option with art to turn the channel off. You don't have to have a protest. You can just go, eh, that's not for me.
Yeah.
It's that simple. But we seem to have forgotten that simple action. Like, oh, okay, well, that's that, but I don't need to be involved.
Hey, business question.
I got to tell you, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
So business coming off that, Nikki Glaser had a hell of a night. What is that?
I think she was the best, and then I thought that kid from Kill Tony was a monster.
So what happens for her, though?
He took no prisoners, that's for sure.
What happens for her, Billy? Does she get to, is there a Netflix special that might not have happened that now happens? Like, does she generate enough buzz?
She has a new HBO special coming out on, I think, May 11th already, and she's a killer. All those guys are killer. Kreischer and Segura were great. I mean, these comics... You know, I give them a lot of credit, man. They did something that they shattered a glass ceiling and reminded us that we got to not take ourselves so seriously. And so what I think they may have done us a service. I think they may have done us a service because, look, you can be funny without being cruel. The truth without love is abuse. You don't just need to blather your dumb, angry thought, but if you can put some laughter on it, on somebody, and make them laugh at themselves, yeah, look, man, sometimes it's uncomfortable, but when we can laugh at ourselves, we're free.
Well, that's how we were raised, right? I mean, you talked about...
Oh, my God. My father was the king.
Yeah,
he was the king.
And you talked about my aunt. Every time she would see you, your manager's mom, my aunt Irene, she would tell you what? You're still fat.
Shit. The minute I'd walk in, she'd go, hello, honey, you're too fat. Are you hungry? I'm like, that's a little bit of a conflicting,
welcome to my world.
I think you're fat, but I want to love you with food. Like, but I get it. I don't take that personally.
But you know what's nice about that? Because my Uncle Nick was the guy that I always said, he ran Thanksgiving dinner. Who sat at the adult table? Who sat at the kids' table? And age wasn't really it, but he was the arbiter.
Right.
And what he said went. But I always thought, instead of thinking, is that what they're thinking? When they tell you that up front, now the evening begins. I have nothing to worry about. I'm not thinking about what you're thinking. We're now going to start the night.
No, we know where we're going. We all know where the car's going. And if you don't want to go, don't get in the car. It's that simple.
Well, Billy, looking forward to seeing you this weekend at the Punchline. Going to come out, I think, on Saturday and see the act. May 10th and the 11th, you can see him as well. Punchline.com is the place to go. So giving away tickets all week long, wishing you nothing but the best. And like I said, looking forward to seeing you again face-to-face this weekend.
Listen, I know you two don't take compliments very well, but I want you to know that I love you both. I appreciate your support over the years. And, Nick, without your family... I'm just not standing here, buddy. So I love you.
Love you, too. And we'll see you this weekend.
You got it, guys. Be well.
Thanks, Billy.
Billy Gardell with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. The set was great. He did like 15 minutes, and he was really nervous about it. And Billy doesn't really get nervous, and he was great. Because you got to weave in the past stuff, but you're a different person. You don't want to be like Ric Flair. You don't want to be this cartoon character up there, Dice Clay, cartoon character up there. And Billy's working through that right now. So
and it's okay.
He appreciates everything. He's always been genuine. I think that's why people appreciate him.
Yeah, but everybody has an evolution. And it hits people at different times, and why would you evolve? I don't know, man. He's got a good life. And you know what's kind of nice? Every once in a while, a guy who's got a good life tells you, I got a good life.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you, I'm pretty damn happy.
And he's worked pretty hard on and off the stage to get to where he is right now. Speaking of success, introducing 680 The Fangirl, a brand new social media sports content tailored to the ladies. A little less X's and O's and more lifestyle-driven sports content. The 680 The Fangirl page is curated expressly for our 680 female sports fans.
I think we have a problem.
680 The Fangirl, no problem here. Become a 680 The Fangirl today and follow us on Instagram and TikTok. How influential was Arthur Blank in the selection of Michael Penix Jr.? Yes, the soap opera continues, and we'll talk about it next on Cellini and Domino, The Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
And The Fan app.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business. And it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Good morning. Put something forth that you think maybe that's on your mind. What is it you'd like the world to see? It could be a beautiful sunrise. Just something that you may be thinking about feeling, and boom, do it in picture form.
Maybe it's girls on film. Who knows? 1234, Cellini, Domino. Domino putting forth the X platform question of the day this morning, brought to you by Harris Cherokee Casino and Resort. Hey, we're giving away all week long a pair of tickets for any Live Nation concert week, which is $25 all in. So that means $25 to see any concert you like. Let's give away a pair of those right now to caller number four at 404-231-1680. Any show.
Are you sure you're not outside the venue?
You're in the venue.
You get to hear, hey, for $25.
120 local shows at amphitheaters, clubs, and arenas. That's what Live Nation Concert Week is all about. Go to livenation.com/concertweek to get your $25 tickets. We're talking about bands like, well, Chicago and Earth, Wind & Fire performing together on their venue. Cole Swindell, Creed, the Doobie Brothers, Janet Jackson, Kings of Leon, Pink, Sum 41. I mean, Tim McGraw. All genres are covered here.
Do you know who puts on a great show? Pink. Have you ever seen?
Yeah, she gets on the harness.
Yeah, but it's not like
crowd.
I think that like everybody said, oh, look, she does. She actually sings live. She works. My wife's seen her a couple of times. When she heard about this, she's like, I paid a hell of a lot more than $25 to see Pink. So now you can only pay $25.
Again, livenation.com is where you need to go /concert week. Giving away a pair tomorrow and a pair on Friday as well. In the meantime, the next big event for the NFL is a mere 7 days away. That story in about 5 minutes.
Punching it in from the goal line. This is the Drive into the Red Zone.
So Jeremy Fowler wrote on ESPN.com yesterday that Arthur Blank loomed large in the Falcons' decision to draft Michael Penix Jr. with that eighth overall pick. So after 2 years, it looks like Michael Penix will get his opportunity to play quarterback for the Falcons. Don't forget what Albert Breer from the Monday Morning Quarterback wrote about on Monday when it came to Kirk Cousins and why he chose the Falcons over the Vikings.
The Vikings really never backed down from the idea that, yeah, we could take your successor in the 2024 draft. So part of the way that Kirk and his people looked at this was, okay, so if we sign this contract that doesn't guarantee everything in 2025 that they get out of after 2024 and they may be taking my successor in April, well, then I may just be the quarterback here for 1 year and they may trade me after the year. They could theoretically cut me after the year if the young rookie comes in and kills it.
So the same thing happened here. It doesn't seem to me like, look, this could work out. It just doesn't seem to me like there's any consistent plan that they have at Flowery Branch. They kind of go off on a whim and decide to do something.
But here's my
thing. Could be dangerous.
You're writing stuff and you're saying loom large. So what if I say on the air today, he loomed medium in this deal? That is so ambiguous. There's no, like, what am I supposed to pin to him when you say stuff?
He wants a succession plan. That's what he wanted because of what's happened over the past couple of years. That's what Breer went on to say.
Well, when you tell me he loomed large, he's making
Jeremy
the pick.
Fowler.
He's making the pick. That's what looming large is to me. So either have the balls to say that you were told that Arthur Blank said, this is what we're doing, or just tell me he loomed medium.
And I know
he loomed small.
Kirk Cousins has to be a professional, but what I'm saying is it could still work out, but
sure.
From the outside looking in, I take everything these guys say, Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris, with a grain of salt.
Terry actually is here.
Well, they haven't won.
I don't think they
haven't won.
They could tell you what the plan is, but I don't think they really believe in any plan. They're just going to take someone on a whim because that's what it seemed like they did with Michael Penix.
Let's not go whim.
It seemed that way.
I want gut every once in a while. We have the nerve, the balls to go against what you think we were supposed to do. Whim sounds like time is running out on the clock. Him. I don't want to believe that. Now, here's why you're allowed.
What's done is done. There's nothing you can do about it now.
Here's why you're allowed to say what you said about you take everything with a grain of salt. They haven't won. I'm not blaming Raheem Morris. I'm not talking about Tampa. They haven't won here. And until you win when I'm emotionally involved, everything you do, I take with a grain of salt.
I'm going to say something here. When you listen to Russell Wilson speak, he sounds goofy, right?
Yeah, yes.
I see a lot of parallels.
Let's run.
Between what Russell Wilson says and does and what Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot do and say. I see a lot of parallels there, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm completely wrong.
See, here's what's
I'm
different.
Just making an observation.
Can I just give you this? And I know Raheem Morris was with the Rams. Russell Wilson at one point was in back-to-back Super Bowls, and he's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback.
I don't know if it's Wolverine blood or what, but
I think that's his personality, no doubt about it.
When I hear them talk to the draft choices, there's something off-putting about that to me.
Oh, the phone calls.
Yeah.
It shouldn't take much to get that right. It does feel like there's a swing, but...
You know, like me, when I talk too much?
Yeah.
When I talk to people, that's what they're doing. It's okay for me to do it. I'm not making any major decisions. It's not okay for them to do it.
Can I tell you, though, I think this is a lot like Georgia players get too many tickets. I've heard a couple of the other cities' phone calls. They're not much better. You know what I mean? Like, this bothers us because...
So maybe we're too close to home? I don't know.
I think it's happening all over.
Now,
I think college football players get tickets.
Sure.
I think they... If not arrested, they get scolded and you're going to have to run. I think there's a lot of that stuff going on. I've heard some of the other phone calls. Now, the Detroit Lions were wearing Dan Campbell jerseys.
And we all laughed at Dan Campbell as well.
But you know what?
I'm going to bite your kneecap, okay? And it worked out. So I hope it works out the same way here.
My point is, do you know why they were allowed to do that? Because of last year. Here, you don't have a last year. I'd like it to be played pretty straight around here until you guys win. I don't want to have to feel,
But it's going to be, like you said, many layers of this onion. For instance, then the preseason hits. Who's going to play in the preseason?
No doubt.
How much are you going to see Kirk Cousins? How much are you going to see Michael Penix Jr.? Adam Schefter has a theory here.
I would think that we'd see a lot of Michael Penix in the preseason. Not as much of Kirk Cousins at all. Just because he's coming off the Achilles, there's no reason to expose him early on. I'm sure they're going to want to get him a little work. I'm sure it would be more important to get Michael Penix more work, knowing that in a perfect world, he's not playing at all this season. They haven't decided that yet, but sure, there'll be plenty of work for Penix and a lot less work for Cousins during the preseason.
You understand if he lights it up in the preseason, you're going to have the fan base, or at least a portion of the fan base, calling for Michael Penix. If he stinks, what did we do? What have we done? Right. I mean, you're creating a lot of different situations here that maybe could have been avoided. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. But what it comes down to for me is Sundays. I don't care about hearing he looked great at a practice. He looked great in this rookie whatever. He looked great at the beginning of August. I'll take all of that with a grain of salt as well. I need for you to win. You spent $100 million because you thought this guy truly was the piece. It's not a solo effort, but he's the piece, in my opinion, to make all the other picks that you've made in the last 3 years become better. If that doesn't happen, that's a Sunday thing. That's not a Thursday. That's not a Wednesday. That's not a post-game press conference, jibber jabber, jibber jabber. Then you have the problem. If they don't win, you really have a problem. Look, it's like the Bally's thing. I'm going to be honest with you. I find myself rooting for something to happen. I don't have to get into it now, but I find myself rooting for something to happen. With the Falcons, I find myself rooting that I don't have to put Michael Penix in a game for 2 years. I just hope if that's you go to the postseason, you don't fall short because, again, you don't bring a quarterback down to the ground. A corner gets burned. Your wide receiver room isn't deep enough. Like, that's what's going to bother me. You'll win enough games to get to the postseason. And then the glare of, you know, you could have had a piece that could have helped you in this game, the January game. Not the November game, the January game. That's the thing I'm a little bit, for the next 2 years, how am I supposed to feel if and when that happens?
The NFL is going to release its schedule for this upcoming season a week from today, 8 o'clock on May the 15th. It'll be one of those national shows on ESPN, on the NFL Network. The NFL teams were informed yesterday that would be the case. The Falcons, if you want to circle three games as far as possible national games are concerned, people are doing that already. Yeah. At Minnesota, okay. Kirk Cousins goes back.
Sure.
At D.C., Dan Quinn and the Commanders, and then the world champion Chiefs are here. So those are the three games that a lot of people have circled.
Well, the Chiefs game is, I want the Chiefs on as many national games as possible. You're going to help. Can I tell you, though, that feels more like an NCAA tournament than basketball.
Like, you know, when they unveil the brackets?
Yeah. So I don't feel that way about the NFL. Oh, you're playing Dan Quinn. Eh. Like, I don't, oh, Kirk Cousins is playing against Minnesota. I like that in the college world where there's some sort of, whoa, did you see what they just
said?
Well,
not only that, we don't know who's going to be healthy, what's going to be going on.
You got that right, Chris.
There's a sense of immediacy when you talk about the brackets being unveiled. It's a little bit different.
I asked Isaiah the other day. We were out. Adam, Matt,
Isaiah Stewart was our engineer on Monday.
Who's a Commanders fan.
At the Atlanta Athletic Club.
He's from, and he roots for the Commanders.
Right.
Formerly the Redskins. DT, I'm going to ask you as well. Who wins a playoff game first, the Atlanta Falcons or the Washington Commanders? And I know it seems it was a clean sweep because I've asked a few friends this. Matt Lear, who wins a playoff game first, Washington or Atlanta? Wins
Atlanta.
Okay.
Atlanta.
Atlanta. Derek?
Concur.
Okay.
Falcons.
Yeah, and I said Atlanta on Monday.
Okay.
And we're all wrong.
Well, I'm just saying it seems too easy, and Washington was further away, but how much further away were they really?
I mean, I just keep going back to 2008. You get the right coach and the right quarterback, everything falls into place.
Which, by the way, could happen to Washington.
Right.
That's my point.
It's the NFL. You just never know. Who thought the Texans were going to be what they were last year? You don't know.
C.J. Stroud is now it's 1 year. And by the way, he could regress. It could turn out to be a bad 1.5, 2, 3 years for C.J. Stroud. He had that, whoa, as a rookie, if we just extrapolate this out where he's just going to keep getting smarter and better, he's a Hall of Famer. Doesn't work that way.
Also, in the not-too-distant future, like we're talking May, October, you know, sometime before the end of the year, to be kind of general, according to Bloomberg.com, the NFL teams could be selling up to 30% of their equity to investment firms, private equity firms, to be exact, private businesses.
If you want to get some of your cash out, good for you. You bought it. You should be able to get some of your cash out or get an influx of cash. How much fine-tooth combing are we going to do with the people that want to get in? That's the thing where it gets a little bit tricky. You know, what if you're turned down? Well, you can't have them. Why not? Well, here's what these guys are all about. That's not a great look.
You can't have them on your side. They kill people.
Right. Right. We're going to have a live. Let's just say what it is. Is there a live situation?
You can't have. They cut people's heads off.
Down the hall.
Can't have that company represent us. Maybe that is a conversation for Atlanta's only conservative news talk station.
A day of jihad, I guess.
Again, down the hall, extra 106.3.
Give me the goofiest product that makes money now. The tape, you could make a boat out of the tape or whatever.
Flex Seal?
Yeah, how do you feel like you're going to go to a press conference? Yes, we sold 28% to the Popeil people. it's a little bit weird. It's a little bit strange. And you know who sort of has that kind of money? We talk about streamers wanting to buy product. What if they could actually go buy the teams? Is that a double dip? If I'm Amazon and I want to buy parts of multiple teams,
I don't think you can do that.
What if they want to pick one team?
They can do that, I suppose.
But they're a content carrier. Yeah. Is that
a conflict of interest?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. That's for the league's lawyers to work through.
You're also going to hear about the numbers, valuations. 10% sold for this. That's how you find out truly what people think about your company.
Finally, what's wrong with this guy? Chad Kelly, former Broncos 7th-round pick, had all kinds of problems in college and with the Denver Broncos. He's the reigning MVP of the Canadian Football League. He's been suspended for 9 games after a female strength coach alleged that he made unwanted advances and threats. Uh-oh. You would think after a while you'd learn from your mistakes. Apparently, this guy is the exception to the rule. Because the elevator ain't going all the way to the top when it comes to Jim Kelly's nephew.
Yeah, at what point do you not realize, she is going to say no. She doesn't want to go out on a date. How many times do you have to go to the well to make it harassment? What kind of idiot are you at that point?
Don't forget, he's with the Broncos, and he gets cut after he's at Von Miller's Halloween party, and he's so messed up that he wanders and collapses into another person's apartment. How are you that goofed up that you don't know it's your apartment or not?
Well, that happened to me in my house. You know the story. Halloween, guy walked into my house at 1:30 in the morning. Like, literally walked in the front. And the front door was open. People asked. Because my daughters had gone out, and I didn't ask them. You know, I didn't get up and lock the door. But it was a Halloween party. It must be something about Halloween. Hey, I wonder if it was Chad Kelly, actually, who came into my house.
Maybe.
Threw him up against the door.
You have a Broncos jersey on?
No, he didn't. But the point is, at a certain point, you've got to be an adult. And human relations, human resources, excuse me, or relations, they're always there. Like, they're going to become part of this if you just don't understand what no is.
I saw someone when I was about...
How incredible was this woman that you felt that you had to get to the point where you're suspended from your job for 9 games?
When I was 10, someone wandered in to our house, and my father, when I tell you my father, I never saw him move that fast.
Yeah, that was me.
Before or since.
He
grabbed this guy by the collar and the belt loop, and he literally, the guy was airborne. Oh, he had like 4 steps. He was like, you're out of here, pal. Boom.
Well, like, he did it old school.
Right
like
out of the
saloon.
Concrete.
Like, well, again, he was
a saloon keeper.
Yeah. All right.
He said, you should have seen your face. laughing at my fear of someone coming in the house. Anyway, Giselle is not happy, and we'll tell you why Giselle is not happy when we come back. Cellini, D'Amino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Oh, and The Fan app.
That's right.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a Mad Men's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
How many times do you have to go to the well to make it harassment? What kind of idiot are you at this?
There.
Excuse me.
I'm hauling a load of rice cakes down to Big D. What do you say to coming with me?
No, thank you.
Well, then how about a kiss?
No.
I know when a woman says no, she really means yes. Now, how about that kiss?
Yes.
What do you mean, no?
Chad Kelly? 12:56, Cellini, D'Amino, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM, 12 o'clock hour, brought to you by the fine folks over at Wade Ford. was an old school Tuesday night for the Braves. We'll talk about that a little past the top of the hour. But Billy Gardell performing at the Punchline this weekend joined us earlier. He said it was good for comedy what happened the other night during the Tom Brady roast. Well, apparently Gisele Bündchen does not agree. According to People magazine, she's deeply disappointed by the disrespectful portrayal of her family during that roast. Bridget Moynihan.
Breaking news.
Also put forth the fact in a cryptic tweet that she wasn't so happy.
Okay.
Saying if you care about people like I do, you don't do certain things to people.
Oh. Like our business is our business?
I think so.
You just put it out there as the kids would say in the streets. What is Gisele? They cracked on her.
I think they left the kids out of it, right?
Right.
For the most part.
Right. Is she upset that... I don't know. She played Johnny Hop around with Jiu-Jitsu Man.
I mean, she is running around with the Jiu-Jitsu Man.
I don't know if that's true.
He is allegedly flipping her.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true.
Doing Jiu-Jitsu. Hi-sa! You flip him.
Yeah. But I don't. Okay. What do you want? Like, seriously, should jokes have been cleared by you? It's not the way this works.
No, it's a roast, and someone's going to be offended. That's when you know a roast is doing its job. Also, I guess.
Listen,
Netflix...
I'd be disappointed if my wife was playing, knock around with a jiu-jitsu guy.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think you get off talking about being disappointed?
Netflix, I guess, edited out Kim Kardashian's appearance initially on the stage when everybody was booing her as well, and some people are upset about
that. Yeah, that seems a little bit cheap. Don't editorialize. You might as well not do it live then. Do what we said. You know, cut some stuff. Randy Moss didn't need to do anything.
No, I felt bad for him.
Yeah, there's a
wrong place at the wrong time. He knew. He knew when he came up there, he said it right out of the gate. I got to follow Nikki Glaser.
Yeah, it was bad.
He was a nervous wreck. So
that was bad.
You're right. The power of editing would have helped a guy like Randy Moss on
Sunday. Why was it so offensive that Kim Kardashian was booed?
I don't know.
Like, that's what I don't even understand. What's the purpose of that?
I have no earthly idea. That's essentially
what
happened.
How'd you like it?
All that was missing was some rotten fruit being thrown at her, catching a head of cabbage. The Braves turn back the clock as they snap their slide. We'll talk about that next year on your home of the Braves. The Red Sox and Braves wrap up that quick series tonight at 7:20. The Ford Leadoff Show at 6:05 here on The Fan, 680, 93.7 FM. And what else, Matt Lear?
Oh, I think there's an app.
Yeah, The Fan app.
Yeah, it's free.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a Mad Men's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today. AccentRoofingService.com.